Well, I tell you, I'm sorry. I'm moved by this testimony.
Not only you, brother.
Somebody on the phone needs to mute. Hey, you need to mute. Well, brethren, we're very quiet today. Here we have a little, here we have a little chat. Where did you get this little poem? Is this a poem? Is this from you, Howard?
It's a song.
Oh, why don't you read it to us, Felix? Oh, here. Felix, are you going to read it to us? I've done enough talking today.
Okay, let me read. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his curse or blush to speak his name? In the name, the precious name of him who died for me, through grace I'll win the promised crown, whatever my cross may be. You know, the one that really struck me is the second one. Must I be carried to the skies of flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? You know, as you read the story of Brother Polycarp, it just came into my mind, this song, and I decided to search it out. You know, he said, must I be carried to the sky? Well, I can remove the sky, you know, on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. And then the third one says, are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood in this vile world, a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, Brother Mark.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay.
Brother Edie, yes.
As I listen, you can hear me, okay? So as
yes.
I listen and that Felix has made, and but where we are, looking at the submission, the man saying, give me some time to go pray, taking care, ministering to the people that were sent to arrest him and stuff. It's so different from what we have around us. In these days.
Brother Edie, you're breaking up. Can you start that again? We can't hear you very good.
We call down fire. We call down fire against our enemies. You might not remember now. Wow. I'm bringing the cross to my mouth. Am I hello? Uh-oh. Okay.
Go ahead, Brother Edie. Say it again. We missed what you were saying.
If you can't hear me, can you hear me now?
Now it's better, yeah.
Okay, I was saying that God, yes, I'm saying the same to approach to, because our normal response to persecutors. Not like Polycarp. So all right. Can you hear me?
Again.
So
yes.
If they sense somebody is sent to arrest me, what I would do is to call the church for prayer and fight. That's the approach that the general church seems to be presenting now, to be able to endure. To the end, the people who want to use prayer and fasting and binding to destroy persecution. It doesn't look like that is that's just my men stood their ground. In righteousness, Adam. Praise God.
Amen. Well, we didn't hear that real good, but what I heard was the example of how he ministered to those who came to arrest him, how he didn't try to call down fire on them, how he went to prayer and sought the Lord. To give him time, to give him strength, and he did not turn back to the very end. You were broken up pretty bad, Brother Edie, but I think that's what we heard from you. Thank you.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. God bless you.
God bless. You know, The church has truly forgotten the price that our true fathers paid. Our spiritual fathers, I mean. Would the church today be ready to pay this same price? Or would we try to preserve our own life? Well, you say, well, surely it's easier for an 86-year-old man than for a 26-year-old man. You know, we sing that song, Ancient Words. In that last verse, martyr's blood stains each page. How does it go, Rita? They have died for this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. So, is there anything else anyone wants to add? Comment? Brother Larry?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to read a couple of verses from Jeremiah, which I thought were interesting, because Jeremiah, under the inspiration of God, said this: "Woe unto the pastors who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the pastors who feed my sheep. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, says the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them. And I will bring them again to their flocks. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who to feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says the Lord." So I just thought it was interesting that God makes a distinction there against faithless pastors. And then he says he's going to set up not other pastors, but he's going to set up shepherds. So I just think, you know, there's a distinction there of whether you function as a pastor or you're functioning as a shepherd. All pastors should be shepherds. That is, they should be mindful of the sheep. After all, you know, we are all brethren, and everyone that's called to lead in the churches should be shepherds to minister to the welfare of the sheep, not set themselves up as, you know, in some role of control over the sheep. The problem has been from the beginning, even as you said today, Mark, even in the beginning of the church, that there will always be men who want to rule over and control other men. And it, you know, it goes back from the very beginning. The problem is we as human beings have this flaw in our character. And it starts right in the beginning, right in Cain. And that is the character of the shortcoming of mankind called pride. And I think that's what gets us into trouble. When people, even those who are called of God, this spirit of pride rises up in them. And we have to constantly be fighting off that spirit and not allow it to control us. You know, scripture says that God will humble those that are prideful, and he will exalt those who are humble. And so, you know, I know it's something all of us that have anything to do as far in ministry, that we have to make sure that we're not ministering to our own spirit and exalting ourselves. Romans chapter 12, Paul talked about, and what he said was that be not high-minded, and not to think more of yourselves than you ought. In other words, what we can think that's good about ourselves is what God has given us. You know, he's given us the Spirit of God that dwells within us, and he's given us the Word of God to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord. Beyond that, we start getting into our own intellect, our own abilities, you know, and then we start becoming high-minded and thinking that it's something we did to deserve the acknowledgement of the congregation. And yet we always have to be mindful that we are just one of the brethren. And Paul, in that 12th chapter, he continued on to talk about giftings or functions in the church, how we're to function. And, you know, we're always, what he's saying there is we're always to function in the Spirit of God and not go beyond what God has called us to do, what our calling is, what our ministry is. Don't be more than what God has ministered and called you to do. When you do that, you're getting into your own flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. Near to Ken.
Anything else to share before we turn this off?
You know, Mark, it's Patty. I was reminded when you were doing the Polycarp testimony about the testimony of the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard the testimony of that song or not.
No.
Have you?
No.
Oh, well, it was about this man and this woman and his family and his two sons. I guess there was some sort of revival in Wales. And there was a group of missionaries that went forth, and they went to this very difficult foreign country, and they ministered there. And this man and this wife and his two children came to Jesus because of the missionaries. And they were talking about the Lord in this village. And I guess it infuriated the chief because people were coming to know the Lord. And the chief brought them before him, and he said he wanted him to recount his faith in Jesus. And the man said that he could not do that. And his words were, I've decided to follow Jesus. And the chief said, well, if you don't recount, I'm going to kill your two children. And the man said, no, I can't do that. And they shot the two children with arrows, and they were dying. And he said, now will you recount? And he said, no. He said, well, if you don't recount it, I'm going to take your wife. He just said, though none go with me, I'm still going to follow Jesus. And the chief was really furious, and I guess he shot the wife. And now he said, now will you recount the Lord? And the man said, no, I can't do that. He said, the last line, I can't remember what it was. It was the cross before me, the world behind me. And the chief was really angry. And he said, that's it. And he said, now you're going to have to die if you don't recount the Lord. And the man said, no, I can't recount the Lord. And he shot the man dead. And the whole family was there and they had all died. But something happened in that little time. And for some reason, all of a sudden, the man, the chief, was really affected by what had happened with the family, because none of them would give up their faith in Jesus. And a miracle happened, and the chief came to know Jesus. And he started, you know, talking to his the tribe about Jesus. And there was a real something that took place because of this one family being willing to give their lives for the Lord. And it's, you know, there's something about when we make that sacrifice and we really don't give up on the Lord, he doesn't give up on us, and it affects other people. I was wondering when you were reading about Polycarp, if the ones that were in the stadium there, if there were many that came to know the Lord because of Polycarp. So that's all I have to say.
I think it was Tertullian who was apparently brought to the Lord by watching in Rome, and considered how these Christians were behaving when they were facing the lions. And it apparently brought him to turn to the Lord. Well, thank you, Patty. I'm going to turn the recording off. It seems we've come to the end of what we want to say.